Item three, Director's Report, please.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter.
It'll be somewhat abbreviated in that we've just met recently, but even so, you'd be surprised, I think, how much we have going on. So in the heat of the legislative session, don't have a lot to report on specifics. I think if you have questions, certainly can follow up. I do want to say that I didn't know he was going to be here either, but Tom McBride has been leading that show over there. No, don't want you to leave yet. I'm going to torture you a little bit. I can't tell you how impressed I am, how lucky we are to have Tom over there. It's been an amazing acquisition for us. I feel like, you know, we just got the star quarterback here. I guess I'm supposed to be quarterback. Star running back for me across the street. Amazing interaction with legislators. Just represents the agency so well. I couldn't hope for any better. And so all of our successes this year will be a result of Tom's hard work. No pressure. Moving to meetings that we've had since the last commission meeting, we had our co-manager meeting with tribes for, it's basically the kickoff of North of Falcon, emerging issues, held that at the Quinault Resort. Good meeting, we're off to a good start. I do want to say, I know we get a lot of questions, or right now there's a lot of questions, and litigation for that matter, around transparency of the North of Falcon process. We did put on the table having observers back into the room during the negotiation process, and I think it's positive they're considering it. There are members there that spoke positively of that option, and so that's improvement. I don't know if we'll get actual agreement on it or not, but I want folks to know we are trying, and tribes are giving it genuine thought. Met with a number of different groups in town for a legislative session. Washington Cattlemen's Association, Cattle Producers of Washington in particular. On that, I was going to mention the depredation that I think Commissioner Thorburn's already done a good job of discussing, the Assotin County depredation. And we are making progress down there. We are pushing the non-lethals and have the cooperation and hope that that works. Had a really good meeting with Glenn Casamassa of the Forest Service, U.S. Forest Service. He's going to be a great partner. Definitely, we heard a lot of commitment in that meeting. We're getting our staffs together on a regular basis through shared stewardship, good neighbor authority, and just generally working better together. We've both committed to a regular session of meetings with the right folks in the room. So not that they haven't always been a good partner, but it felt like a renewed energy, so I think that was a great positive.
What's his position?
He is regional forester is his title. So he's their equivalent of a director through the Northwest region.
He's
basically.
So based in Portland.
Yeah. Okay. I think so. Amy, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit. I'll just go through it. Amy attended the ATNI, Affiliated Tribes of Northwest Indians, to talk primarily about the Cook SEPA. I don't know if y'all have heard about it. We certainly have. we're trying to continue to work with the public on that. We're solid, we believe, on our science and our regulatory authority, and we'll continue to work with folks on that. Met with Kyle Winton, Eyes in the Woods. I bring this one up. I mean, I'm not bringing up every meeting I had, obviously, but this was another one where it just highlighted to me that we have an opportunity to really engage and use volunteers a lot, probably more than we are. Folks are out there. We hear a lot of bad, but there are a lot of folks out there anxious to help us in ways that really only volunteers can. So another great positive meeting. Strategic planning meetings went with a number of those, so we're continuing that effort. Met with Mark Pigeon from Hunters Heritage, who represents a number of hunting groups, Trout Unlimited, and a number of other organizations. These are I attend these when I can. I can't make them all. Jeff Davis, obviously, is our lead. But very, very enlightening to watch the different folks talk about their perspectives on where the agency needs to go. But generally, a core to that is I think I'm hearing it because it's there, not because I want to hear it, because it's what I believe. But generally, a desire to work together and do a broader base for the agency. It's our relevancy element, and it comes through spontaneously from them. We don't have to ask the questions. We always make sure that we're hearing from them first before we start talking. And that's been kind of a core of almost every group we've met with. So that's been very encouraging as well. We met with Ruckles House Center. I think there's a partnership, a possibility there that we have taken advantage of certainly in the past and continue to do in the future. They were eager to work with us as well. Our budget and policy advisory group met under Nate's leadership, continuing great support from that group. On a bad day, all I got to do is think about that group and how hard they're working to support us and how diverse they are. And that's another, it keeps you coming back for sure. Met with Puget Sound Anglers last night, their South Sound chapter. This is about the fourth or fifth meeting of these we've had. They vary, vary greatly. Last night was a kind of a softball one. It felt pretty good. We had a couple individuals that were a little cantankerous, but I think the fact
send
that
them to Molly.
Okay,
she,
yeah.
She
okay.
Likes okay. the okay. old men.
These were grumpy young men. That's
oh, okay.
But that's actually an improvement for us because the median age in the room was probably 65. But and I fit that bill. No insult intended. And it helps having it in a place where they don't serve beer. I'll just point that comment. Upcoming meetings, we have a meeting coming up with the Squaxin and Tribe next week. And it's a highlight to you that they're fairly upset. We had a meeting with legislators, Representative Hunt and Dolio, and we let them know with our sister agencies that we're really having a hard time permitting the Pioneer Park location for the Deschutes Hatchery. And quite frankly, we should have done a better job of communicating with them before that meeting. I take that back. I should have done a better job of communicating with them before that meeting. They heard what was some bad news to them in the meeting, and that's not how we work with tribes. And so we have a follow-up meeting on Monday to try to make basically amends for that misstep on my part and continued work with them. The important thing is we need to get a hatchery in that basin somewhere, and we need them to work with us on it. It's been way too long already. I understand the frustration and have our commitment to continue working with them. Other upcoming meetings I think are worth highlighting is Oregon, Idaho, and Washington with the U.S. Forest Service in Portland, again, furthering that collaboration with U.S. Forest. We have the Colorado State University workshop that a couple of you are going to attend coming up. That's on kind of America's wildlife values and how we interpret that information or how we put that information to use to grow our base like we have talked about before. And believe it or not, PFMC in Roanoke Park in early March is coming up. We're at that time of year. I'll see you later kind of thing. We have it's fairly consuming because it's so important to what we do. I'm going to ask a couple people to do some quick highlights on issues where they are probably better suited than I am. Brendan's going to give you just a minute or two on Skagit elk. I know that was a big issue last time. We talked about coming back to the commission in a more formal way in about June, but I want to let you know that we're continuing to work it and give Brendan a chance to shout out. Come on up, Brendan. About just this is the 1 minute version to let you know what's going on and maybe 2 minutes. I see the length of the paper. let you know what's going on, and we haven't dropped this ball. We're getting ready for June.
Commissioners, Deputy. As the Director said, I'm here just to give you a brief update on the Skagit elk. For reminder, my name is Brendan Brooks. I'm your still new Region 4 Director, and I kind of work that as long as I can. I can give you a quick update. I just gave Nikki a handout for the damage assessment for the month of January, as well as the mitigation report. We received $200,000 from the legislature for fiscal years 20 and 21 to purchase seed and fertilizer for landowners in the Skagit Valley. So we started signing folks up. Our wildlife staff have been working with the local landowners, and they've already signed up 10 individuals for 2 years each at about $5,000 per that. There are also some other landowners that they're going to sign up for that actually are out of town, and we haven't gotten signatures yet. So moving forward on that and taking advantage of those resources. They've been working really hard. Let me give you a quick update on the damage. So December, there were 5 complaints that we received and responded to, and then last month in January, there were 3 complaints that we received and responded to, so down a few complaints. We had a total of 68 elk-related complaints in 2019, 41 of which were on agricultural lands, and the rest were in not considered non-commercial agricultural lands. So there were 2 more elk harvested in Skagit Valley, 1 bull, 1 antlerless, and those were in the 4941 GMU. And then we had 2 in 418 and 437, one each, and they were both antlerless as well. And I guess I'd like to say that I realize you've been receiving complaints from the landowners in the Skagit Valley, and I want to just stand up for our wildlife program staff who have been working really hard to try and respond to, and have responded to every complaint and working with the folks out there and have been really diligent in doing that. They've been out in the weekends, at night. A lot of the elk are moving around in the dark hours, and they've gone out there, been out there till 3 in the morning. So I just think they're doing a really great job, and I feel you should know that and be aware. Really great thing that we're doing is a study. So we are actually going to have a study. We're going to collar 20 different elk in the valley, cows, and that'll be to determine a few things. One is the demographics of the herd and their movement. So we use a helicopter survey mark recite survey method, and we'll be conducting that. That starts this month, and we'll be going through the spring. The damage season ends on the end of March, and so we're going to be looking at the helicopter surveys. I believe they start them. They start collaring now, and we start surveys at the end of March, if I'm not mistaken.
He can finish it. It's a question I have about his report. So why doesn't Brennan finish, and then I'll ask the question.
Go ahead. Thank you for that.
Sure. Thank you. The other reason is for estimating the core home range. So we're trying to just learn more about the Skagit Valley elk and where they move and where they go. So when do they leave the valley? How far do they travel? Things like that. Their seasonal movement, at what time do they leave the valley in the year? And when do they usually come back? Those types of things. And then the other one is to investigate mortality. So any collared elk that we have a mortality on, we will follow up really quickly and determine what was the cause of the mortality, and then that'll help us estimate a survival rate for calves as well. So we're excited about getting that started. No new cases of hoof disease, so we have the tools and the permits in hand, so if we get reports of hoof disease, we can respond, but we had no new cases of hoof disease either.
So that put up 2 questions pretty quick. Seed fertilizer mitigation, are there conditions on that for the landowner?
Yes, you have to go through the damage prevention DPCA, Damage Prevention Coordination Agreement, and you must be a commercial producer and be eligible as a farmer as defined in the RCW.
Anything they have to give up?
No, and they get to pick. They get to pick their seed, and they get to pick their fertilizer. So they get the choice. We don't decide for them. They just go through our vendor, and then they decide what they want. They buy it, and then we reimburse them up to $2,500 per year.
Okay, and then my second question came up as you were talking. Are we partnering with the tribes on the study?
Absolutely, yes. So we'll be sharing data with the tribes. They are going to be collaring some animals as well, and they're going to be sharing data with us.
Okay.
So we have shared data amongst the co-managers, absolutely. Yep.
I have a couple of questions. I would expect that there's some pleasure amongst the farmers as it relates to the seed and fertilizer. I would think that would be a very positive thing. Or is it too early to really track that yet?
I think you may be right on the latter point. It may be a bit early to say. I mean, signing up 10 people just in the first month alone seems good, so we're optimistic, but it's maybe a bit premature to tell.
Exactly. Are these winter crops? Or I guess they can pick up whatever it is.
They can pick whatever they want. So there can be a cover crop, or they can pick it for the summer crops too. And I think the definition is an orchard-type seed, if I'm not. So it's a grass, basically grass and hay.
One more question. I think you have a question as well? Real quick. I've heard and seen a fair amount of Highway 20 carnage. What has happened there as far as mortalities, or was that what you were speaking about a minute ago? And what about any recent vehicle collisions with elk?
And WASDOT is the agency that tracks those. They have had a few collisions. We met with WASDOT, I want to say, a week and a half ago, and we're going to be talking with them about trying to implement some potential you know, deterrent possibilities on the highway. They are now engaging with us. We've been trying to engage with them for a while now on that, and they.
Last question: have you had any opportunity yet to communicate with the schools?
No, Mr. Barrett is out now. He actually returns tomorrow, so we're going to go up there and try and talk with them. The tribes have offered generously to do a new fence around. They have a fence around the field that they're concerned about. They've offered to do a new fence and or put in an electronic gate of some sort, and have also offered to redo the field as a result of the potential elk damage from the field.
Thank you. Commissioner McKenzie and Commissioner Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So it's apparent that the elk problems in the Skagit have not been completely fixed since we last addressed it, but I wanted to compliment the director and the deputy director. Last year in June in Port Angeles, a plan was launched, and we said, well, let's evaluate that a year later. Several times in January meetings before that, there was criticism that, quote, nothing is happening. And now when we hear that we've got this mitigation payment program, when we hear that elk are being collared, when we're having intermediate reports, it's obvious that something is happening. It's not just been dropped. And so anyway, my compliments, and I think at our June meeting it'd be good to put on our year at a glance planner that we would hear after a year. It's not fair to evaluate things after just a couple of months of a year program, but to hearing how it all works. But anyway, when we can hear from staff about there's activity in this area, it really, I think, I would hope, means something to the public who had been complaining that, you know, just nothing was happening.
Okay, Commissioner Smith and then Commissioner Anderson.
Thanks, Brendan. The director of the best region. Are the land trust folks sitting at the table when you're meeting?
Not lately. So we have not had good success there lately. But we're still trying to engage with them. We're still trying to convince them. You know, it is considered technically private land, even though it's held in trust by the land trust. They can set the rules around that land. So we're still talking.
Because that's a critical part. Because you know, if you have one that's encouraging and one that's discouraging, and they're fence line based, you know,
yes, but it's difficult.
Mr. Anderson.
One question with regard to the, you mentioned that the damage season ends in March, and yes. I doubt if the elk really get that, but so tell me about how that works.
So what that means is we just can't issue permits to other hunters. We can still, our damage folks, so the folks in our conflict in private lands can still respond to damage complaints. We just don't want to be delegating that. That's the beginning of calving season, and so we have to be very careful about which animals we take, and so our staff can still, our conflict staff can still do that, and still issue damage.
Permits. So the, is that the end of March?
End of March. March, yep, 31st, yes.
Okay, and you mentioned that they leave the valley, though, I thought, which is different than worried about calving, and I would assume that if you're trying to manage your herd, that retaking cow elk is not necessarily the problem.
Yes, and not all leave the valley, but a majority of them that are in the process of calving do. So they typically don't calve down on the valley floor, up in the lowlands and the foothills, and so that's. And not always. They you know, they're not very regular, and they don't follow the playbook very well. But that's the idea, is that by the time the snow's out and there's more forage for them, that they do disperse a little bit more and get up into the foothills.
And the study could be helpful in that regard.
Very much so. So that's a big part of that study, is to figure that out. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you up north.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Thank you for that minute or two, Brandon. And Brendan, I apologize. That's good. I also, on a more of an ad hoc basis, Commissioner Carpenter, you started the meeting off about the rain, and I thought it'd be good to give a quick update from Kelly Cunningham. A lot of flooding going on, a lot of issues with our hatcheries, and just give you a status report that how things are going.
Thank you very much, Swin. Chair Carpenter, members of the commission. Yeah, the forecast, it turns out the weatherman was right. We did get a lot of rain this week. In preparation for that, we had folks on notice to be ready and be able to respond. A lot of this is hot off the press. I've got some notes here. And although we had flood events everywhere, even in southeast, as early as yesterday, where a bunch of snow was in the forecast that didn't materialize, but it was actually rain. We've got a lot of flooding going on in the Toucannon area. I don't have much in the way of information on that. But with regard to our vicinity, we had three facilities that were impacted pretty heavily by this week's rain event. Those facilities are Boyd's Creek, Tocal, and Issaquah. At Boyd's Creek, lots of water everywhere. We've got the hatchery house completely surrounded by water, so it's kind of an island in the storm, if you will. Coho Chinook on hand, and it's also the home of our very important White River Spring Chinook recovery fish. Those fish were moved yesterday to Puyallup and are safe. No losses. I should have said this up front. As of this morning, we don't believe we had any mortalities associated with any of these events, so that's a pretty significant win, and I want to acknowledge the staff who responded and did everything they could to keep fish alive. And as it stands this morning, we believe we were successful in that event. Tocal Creek, again, major flooding that was compounded by a landslide upstream from the facility, so we had intake failure. We're able to keep the facility operational, and again, no losses there. We've got a bunch of catchable rainbow trout there, some juvenile steelhead, and a bunch of steelhead eggs at that facility. So we kept those fish alive. At Issaquah, we lost our intake. We had to manually keep screens clear throughout the night. And again, lots of flooding. Pump failures, backup pumps installed with the help of our camp crew, our maintenance crew out of Tim Burns' shop. We've got coho eggs, coho fry, and about 3 million Chinook at the Issaquah facility. So again, I want to emphasize no losses at any of these facilities. I think for me, you know, dealing with this in a warm, dry, covered environment, it's a good reminder that while we're here discussing these very difficult policy issues, it's the folks on the ground in this agency that keep everything running for us. And to have folks volunteer to work throughout the night with a brush in hand and nasty weather, keeping things like screens clear, you know, working in two-person crews at each of these facilities, I'm just very proud of the effort from our staff, and I think you all should be too, and I know you are. So it looks like we're out of the woods. The rivers of concern are expected to crest today if they haven't already, and we've got sun in the forecast over the weekend. And fingers crossed, hopefully we're out of the woods on this one. But I just can't emphasize enough how proud I am of our hatchery folks and the folks in the region who stepped up to be available to fill sandbags and things like that. So unless there's any specific...
Yeah, congratulations. It sounds like you've been really preemptive, which we've learned is important. Have you, or is this managed in an emergency management kind of way? Have you considered like command centers and an emergency manager? You know, it might be a structure to take a look at.
Yeah, we do. We when we're preparing for these things, we set up things like phone trees. Who's going to communicate with who and who's going to respond? It's pretty difficult in that in a lot of these areas, we had things like road closures that weren't necessarily expected. So we have to be very agile in these situations, and we focus a lot on contingency and also, okay, this isn't, you know, our contingencies haven't, how are we going to deal with this? So anything short of launching a jet boat and to run it up the highway to get to the facility, we try to think about.
Thank you. Okay, one last one. Thank you, Kelly, and compliments to our staff who do their ordinary, extraordinary work every day. So my last one is I'd like to wish you all a happy 25th anniversary. and Amy's going to take it from there. We obviously didn't do a very good job of letting you know what we're doing for our 25th anniversary, because we actually did quite a lot. So, Amy.
Okay. Thank you, Director. So, the 25th anniversary, we should have come in January and given you all a report out of what happened in the last year. We did celebrate our 25 years of being Fish and Wildlife together. Our theme was sort of togetherness and partnership. We had a celebratory pin, which I think we gave you all, but if we didn't, we have some here. They're kind of awesome pins, so we'll pass those out. We... the governor proclaimed July 1st of 2019 as Fish and Wildlife Appreciation Day. There was a 25th anniversary logo that we put as part of our annual award ceremony when we traveled around the state. We had numerous social media posts. We had hot topics that were focused on our 25th anniversary and highlights and partnerships throughout the year on our website. We branded the 25-year logo on our website. We did on-site celebrations with staff, and we invited some public folk to that. And we did anniversary posters and banners in all the regional offices. So we tried to share the story as much as we could, but clearly more would have been even better.
Do you still have Brad's cupcake in the cooler?
We saved the top of the cake for you, Brad.
Half of it. Thank you. Mr. Thorburn.
Thank you. That's great. I wanted to return to one of the items that Kelly presented, and that is volunteers working with the department. It's such a great way to engage with traditional and non-traditional constituents and get the word out about what we really are. And the department runs a website for people to sign up to volunteer. There are tons of projects. They're probably things that could more turn into it. But, you know, when our citizens look at this website, they can go work with pygmy rabbits, you know, or they can help in hatchery situations, sorting. There are just all sorts of opportunities, and it is a really wonderful way to get our name out. So I thank you for highlighting it, and I wanted to highlight it even more because I think it's a really important activity of the department.
Very good.
That concludes my report. I am done.
Thank you. Good report. Thank you all.
I didn't mean to make you scramble.
Oh, you're ready for it.
I got it. We are now going to move to agenda item 4. Cynthia Wilkerson will lead us on Lands 2020. This is a briefing, public comment, and not a decision. There will be public comment upon completion of this item.
Since we're ahead of time, can we do a 5-minute break?
You want to take a 5-minute break?
Because we're ahead of time.
We can. Okay. I've had a request by the lady to my left for a 5-minute break, but we will do that.